When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Up to 90.
Welcome to Up to 90, the podcast.
Come here. How are you, Mrs.?
I'm good. I'm just chilling. Little bit of illing.
Illing is in the pipe?
You know me and the illing pipes. I can't leave them alone. I'm mad for me illing pipes. The family don't like them. Oh. First thing in the morning, I just whack them out.
Just to say as well, like any time anyone has the audacity to remind you that illing means elbow in English, please just give them a quick back slap just for me. I mean, honestly, quick backhander.
Jesus.
I just, every time people remind me that, I'm like, I know. Illing means elbow. You played with your elbow. I get it.
Jesus, this is like, I'm not even joking. This is brand spanking new information to me.
Oh, is it? Okay, so do you know what? Maybe refrain from giving someone an automatic backhander because they could just be helping a girl out.
Up to 90, up to 90, up to 90 with Emma and Julie.
Yeah, well, like, I did not know this at all. But I don't think I've actually ever seen an illing pipe up close.
They're quite, you know what? Like, the thing with the illing pipes, there's the odd, there is the odd player out there, and you think, yeah, it is a lovely instrument. But it's like they say about the bagpipes. I mean, there's something off with an instrument whereby, if you miss a note and you're like, I'm so sorry, I totally messed that up, nobody has noticed. It just all sounds the same.
Yeah, well, I noticed that anyone that I know that's mad into this music and wants all this music to start kicking off at a wedding or whatever, they're always jarred all the time. You're not whacking on when you're in the car going to work at 8:30 on a Monday morning. Just, come on.
But the only thing I will say, because I have to say this, because we do have some diehard traditional music fans who listen to this podcast, and they're completely normal people. They're friends of mine. They're totally normal people. Mm-hmm. They're not constantly pickled. Okay, I just want to say that. I just want to say that much.
Okay.
But, I mean, there is kind of this new phenomenon, I suppose, of trad mad young people. Like, I think trad is kind of cool now, Emma.
Is it?
I mean, I say cool in the same way I say things like everyone listens to Radio Nagata. Like, I mean, look, maybe I'm just in a bit of a niche at the moment.
I don't, yeah.
But I think more people are into it.
Well, I haven't heard Ella or her mates mention anything about trad.
Come here. I was very impressed with the fact that Molly the cat, it turns out, her life continues to mirror art. Sure, Amber Heard defecates the bed as well. Everyone's shitting beds these days.
Who's crapping in the bed?
Seen as we Molly shat the bed.
Yeah.
And I discussed it in the previous episode. So it turns out, sure, Amber Heard is shitting the bed as well.
That's what I'm saying. Who's Amber Heard?
Oh, you don't know Amber Heard. So Johnny Depp's ex-missus. You know the line?
Yes. Sorry, Witcher now. Yeah.
Well, I just think she's such a trendsetter 2020. And then I did have to have a bit of a giggle. I know it's all very serious issues being discussed at this libel trial, but I was reading something there the other day and they were saying in a text message, Johnny had referred to Amber as Amber Turd. Like, it has to be done. It has to be done.
But like, how could you not? I think it'd be suspicious if he hadn't called her that, wouldn't it?
Like, it's an absolute must, isn't it, really?
I think if someone pisses the bed, it's not great. Like, it is not great. But you're like, okay, piss the bed, whatever. And obviously there's different scales of pissing the bed, but to shit the bed, that's something else. What are you eating there? Are you eating something?
Sorry, I'm not. I'm opening something up here because I have an exciting gift that I received in the post today. So I just want to thank a listener. So that's why it's kind of crackling.
It sounded like water or something. What is the gift? Tell us.
Okay, but you know what? I'll just say it very quickly and then we'll go back to the podcast. So this is truly lovely. Okay,
yeah.
Truly lovely. We've a lot of plastic, as you can hear. Sorry, so just going to get it out. So we have this gorgeous, gorgeous listener in Canada called Janice, and we love Janice because she's a JJ,
yes,
like myself. So Janice Jane.
Yes, I know Janice, yeah.
And she sent, really cute, Janice is in Canada, she sent tiny little baby mittens and a little baby hat. We have the best listeners in the whole fucking world.
That is so
nice. How cute is that? It's so nice. And then we have a little card, really cute card, and it says, Julie and Fred, congratulations. Seems like a very underwhelming word when talking of a new baby. You will feel things you never knew possible. All the best, Janice. And then she said, I can take the credit for my art. My little one was happy for you too. I mean, she gave, her little child made a homemade card. Like, do people this nice actually exist in the world? I mean, how amazing is that?
That's so nice.
Janice, thank you so much. And I'm going to put a big picture up on my Instagram, but I just wanted to say it at the top of the podcast in case Janice fades out and she's busy living her best Canadian life as the podcast goes on. What I've learned is if we have something important to say it at the top.
That's very true, yeah. Oh, that's lovely.
So thank you so much, Janice. Big love. Thanks a million.
And when did
you're so sweet.
When did that arrive?
So the postman delivered it to my lap. It was actually last week, but I didn't realise it. So the post had been delivered, but apparently Fred has a postal section in the house, which I didn't know existed. So I'm after finding a ton of surprises now. He's basically been hiding my post on me.
Oh my
God. So it's been there for a while, but we thank you, Janice. Thank you so much.
He's hiding the post. He's giving you the prick. He's hiding the post.
He's basically Patrick Bergen in Sleeping with the Enemy. It's all coming to light now. But no, he is very good. And to be honest, you know, when you look at Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, you think, my God, I mean, I thought I had some bad relationships in my time, but Jesus, all the shit is hitting the fan, pardon the pun.
And she's like, what age is Johnny now at this stage?
Oh, too old for this shite. Let me tell you. And then even today when we were going into Tralee, on the radio, they were saying that the next week now, or it could be this week, they're bringing in his former flame, so Vanessa Bowie and Winona Ryder, like dusting off Winona Ryder. I mean,
Christ. Come
on.
Like, how long ago was she with him? Like 25 years ago?
I mean,
for a while.
Are you coming in to trial, a libel trial, testifying on behalf of somebody's character, somebody you knew 25 years ago? That's like the girl I sat beside in Needing Surfiology saying, listen, I'm in court. We always gone on well. Would you mind just rocking up and telling like these people like none of this is true? Sorry, what?
Oh my God.
Johnny's 57.
Like, come on, Johnny. But sure, how old's Amber? See, this is the problem, you see. She must
I
be like...
I think Amber's already 30. Yeah. So I'll just suck her up there now. Yeah, so that's the latest. Amber Heard is 34.
And Camira, did you see the thing with Jada Pinkett and Will Smith?
Oh, did I watch?
On the
oh
red table.
I have to say shout out to my GBS, Eamon, who left me a 9-minute audio yesterday. And I mean, I would say 75% of it was discussing this topic. Tell me, you, okay, laying on the line, Emma, what do you think?
I think basically what happened was that they had decided to split. Like, you know, wasn't a big discussion, but had like, okay, well, you know, let's take some time. And then that she got with this fella August, like fairly quickly, like very, very quickly. And there was even a hint that maybe there was something going on beforehand. And Will had kind of said, well, look, you need to go and figure out what you want. She went off with August. And then that all went kind of a bit shit. She was like, oh, what am I doing? And then they kind of gradually got back together. But I got the impression from the bit at the red table or whatever the fuck it's called, that they hadn't really properly spoken about it since it happened. And she was told...
Oh, no, there didn't seem to be any, which I didn't understand, because I know Jade is all about keeping it real. But I just think I'd keep it real, but I might have a quick chat in the green room over the fruit platter.
Yeah.
Like, look, can we just actually have a run through of what we're going to... It actually did really feel like this was very, very much like a fresh, raw, new conversation they were having.
And then you see the thing is as well that, like, she was talking about this, like, this was completely in their past and this was years, years, years ago. Sure, she had him on her show like in 2018 or something. So she was saying, like, yeah, oh, we mean, haven't spoken to him in years. Like, this is just crazy why he's bringing it up. It's not that fucking long ago. Like,
no.
And when you're an L1, we are L1s, but she's an L1 as well. Like, a year and a half ago is fucking nothing. When someone says years ago, you're thinking like 5+ years, aren't you?
If somebody said to me years ago, I'd probably be thinking about 8 at this stage of the game.
You'd be thinking it would have had to be like, if you said to me, oh, I knew this girl, now this is years ago, I'd be thinking you're talking about like college or, you know, somebody you worked with before your most recent job, or you know what I mean, like that there's some sort of distance in time and distance in terms of like where you were at in your life then and where you're at in your life now, kind of thing. Do you know that kind of way?
Oh, well, yeah. I just found it all a bit gross the way everyone was piling on Jada, and Jada was trending on Twitter, and
yes,
you know, everyone was like, it comes back to the thing, you don't know what their relationship status is. Like, there has been rumors for a long time that they do have an open marriage.
Yeah.
You know, and who's to say whether or not that is true? But it really did. I found it kind of uncomfortable. I know we always bring it back to this, but it did feel a little bit misogynistic the way everyone was pining on her. The one thing I will say, I suppose the fact that he was so much younger and she did frame it as that, which I thought just was maybe a bad way to frame it, that she was talking about maybe that he had a lot of issues at the time and that she was kind of healing him and he was healing her. And then this, as she referred to, like this entanglement happened. So I think just when you're that bit older, you do, I mean, let's face it, if it had been a man of that age saying, well, you know, this young girl, he was a friend of my daughter's, you know, she was going through a lot of stuff at the time. You know, she had addiction issues, she had different shit going on, and I just wanted to heal her. And then she wanted to heal me. I think it would probably be a little bit disconcerting because you're thinking, well, that person might have been, there's a massive age difference. And now they're all adults here. So there's nothing, you know, there's nothing like illegal or anything going on. But if a young person is in a vulnerable place, it does colour it a little bit differently. So that bit didn't really sit right with me. But at the same time, I just hated the way everyone was just going for her on Twitter.
I just feel like she would have been better off not getting Will on that, because she was the only one talking and he was just going,
So
I mean, whether he's not over the fact that she was with someone else and they broke up and it happened so quickly. If maybe like, and like, you know yourself.
Well,
Will looked
like a broken man. I mean, he looked like somebody in pain, and that was really hard to watch.
Yeah, and sure, you know yourself, like people can say in relationships, well, sure, they weren't with each other, she was free to do what she wanted. And of course, if that was the case, she was free to do whatever she wanted. But people can still get upset about shit that happened when you weren't together, like, you know the way. But he didn't seem like he hadn't talked about it properly with her, or he wasn't over it. So I feel like she would have been actually just better off just using someone else as the vehicle to have the chat, because she was just doing all the talking and he was just like,
And I think, and I do think, like, again, just to reiterate, like, this man, the August, was he was like in his 20s, he was an adult when they embarked upon this relationship. It's just the way she framed it, that he was going through a lot of shit. And you do think of being in your early 20s, and you don't really have your shit together in your early 20s either. And I mean, he has spoken about the fact that he was really in love with her and it was a serious relationship, so there was genuine feeling there. But I do think as well, especially because he was young, it was a shame that she came out and denied it. That was her first reaction, was to just deny, deny, deny. And I mean, you see, you're never going to have a leg to stand on then.
Yeah. And you see, the thing is as well, like, now say, obviously, touch wood, this is never going to happen. But say, like, if I say I got into a relationship now with somebody who was in his early 20s, to him, it could be a serious relationship, but like, sure, it wouldn't be the same to me, because like, say, like her, you're coming from a place where you've had two kids with somebody, and then you're also become a blended family as well. And just because you're seeing somebody and you're kind of expressing emotions, it's not going to be this serious in the way that you talk about a relationship being serious. So even at that stage, they would have been together like 20 years or something.
No. And you see, that's it. That, like, again, it comes back.
And
to
she knows that,
When people are in two different stages of their lives, like, regardless of gender, but like, when you're younger, you do fall harder generally. Because, you know, you're in it. You don't have, as you say, like, you know, we can all look back now at this point and say, well, okay, you know, if my serious relationship ended tomorrow, I'd probably have another relationship at some stage. Like, you know, you reach a stage where this isn't our first rodeo. Whereas when you're younger, you are going to feel that bit more, because you're young and you do fall harder. And it doesn't matter whether you're a guy or a girl, like, that's the case. And I think, you know, she probably, I mean, realistically, if she's straight out of a marriage, she probably... You know, I mean, I'm sure there was genuine feeling there.
You're
but
saying
she was out for
the ride. Is that what you're saying?
No, not out for the ride. But you could say that, like, maybe he, I'm just presuming here, like, maybe he fell a bit harder for her than she did for him. Like, she obviously had feelings for him. There's no question.
Yeah, but she couldn't have been completely open.
She couldn't have. No. I mean, you couldn't when you're coming out with out of a marriage that's over two decades long. And then, as well, I do feel then, you know, I suppose her immediate response being that he was a liar was just a bit unfortunate, because then people were just not going to get on board with her side of the argument, even though it's quite possible, like, what she's saying is totally true in that they had broken up, so therefore she wasn't betraying anyone. But just to kind of deny it from a hilt, kind of a bad move.
I kind of feel like it's either say nothing or just actually just say the complete truth. But then I'm like, does she just, like, some of this stuff, I'm like, does she just do this for the publicity, you know, that kind of way?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, she's been in the game long enough now at this stage, hasn't she? She would she would have a fair idea what's going to cause a stir or whatever.
Well, I feel as well what was uncomfortable to watch was the fact that, what, as you say, Emma, I feel that they haven't worked through this as a couple, because Will's face, like, his pain was visceral.
Yeah.
Like, even when she referred to it as, I got into this entanglement, and he's like, an entanglement?
I know.
I actually was so uncomfortable watching it. I felt like we were sitting at their kitchen island and they're just kind of talking this through for the first time. It was too much.
And the son, Jaden, would be skulking around being real fucking annoying and everything. He's just totally annoying, isn't he?
If you like Jaden, can you just get in touch? Because I just feel anyone I speak to, it's like, oh, Jaden.
Imagine the two of them trying to have a chat, as you say, at the kitchen island, and Jaden there at the counter trying to make music with penne pasta or something. And you're like, Jaden, could you just fuck off for 5 minutes, love? Like, just leave the music. It's not your thing.
The career is, we get, look.
Let Dad at it. That's all grand. You'll get the odd acting
bit.
Willow
had the hitch. Okay, Willow had whipped the hair. Okay, we know it still stings.
Yeah.
But that's her thing.
Yeah, she's had a few hits. Leave her at it.
Yeah. And Willow, like, again, seems like a really likable young woman. I mean, Will, I'm not saying Jaden isn't, but as you say, music clearly not for him. We're not quite sure what's for Jaden as of yet. Starring in his father's films, not quite for him. I mean, I just still can't believe, like, the pursuit of happiness, given that that was his dad, and I still couldn't buy it. I was like, no, I just feel there's a miscasting here. I'm not getting the father-son relationship at all. I mean, I'm sure Will, for the last few years, has been leaving brochures for various business courses in Jaden's room.
Just
accounting. Maybe that could be your thing, Jaden.
I know. He'll definitely... He's going to have to get into, like, okay, he's not going to do Rob...
Data input.
He's not going to do Rob Kardashian and, like, start with the socks or something. But he's definitely going to have to get into the bit of music management. And if he needs to do it by doing the false course first, grand. But...
Oh, do you remember Rob and the socks? Do you remember that series on the Kardashians when he had one job, which was to get to Europe to pick out the socks? For his sock line. And Chris has got him on speaker and he's, you know, on the piss with Scott. And he's like, look, I can do the Scott socks next year. And she's like, you just need to pick out the fabrics, Rob.
Oh, Jesus.
And then it's cut to the talking head and Chris is like, I love him, but I worry about him sometimes. And you're
should.
Because the socks are not happening, Chris. We're all worried for him.
You see, the problem with Rob is that he hasn't got the wit to be a likable pisshead. Do you know what I mean? If you're a pisshead with a certain amount of wit, like, it's obviously going to run out, but it'll get you to a certain point in your 20s, possibly early 30s. You know what I mean? If you're witty and you're kind of... still making people laugh, people will accept a lot, but he wasn't that witty, so people were just
if you're hanging out with Scott, I mean, you know, you're just gonna you're never gonna shine if you're hanging out with Scott, because sure, everyone loves a bit of Scott.
The man's hilarious. But,
and but in saying that, I do feel for Rob, because, you know, I think we all feel for Rob, given that he has been asked to hold the camera at family functions for about, I'd say, 15 years now. No, Rob, you take the picture. Okay. No, Rob, could you just take the picture? One where they're on tropical holiday and Rob's just running away from them all for no reason. And I just... Well, there was obviously a legitimate reason, but you know the way the camera's filming him just running and the whole family are like, where's Rob going? What's wrong with Rob? And then it's got to Kim. So she's like, so I look across and it's like, Rob is just running away. And like, that was just such a moment. It was a pivotal moment for Rob, because he was quite literally running away from the whole
thing. Yeah, it was the beginning. It was the beginning of the end, really, wasn't it, for him in that show? But I know what you're saying about Rob, like you'd feel a little bit sorry for him, but I don't have those kind of feelings towards Jaden now at all.
But
as far as I'm concerned,
Jaden,
he can fuck off.
But Jaden just comes across and always has done as super, super entitled.
But can you imagine like Jaden being in your gaff or something and you having to cook him dinner? I say he's the type to be like fucking constantly banging out a tune on the kitchen table. Like,
oh yeah, tapping.
In your face, fucking eating straight out of the pan. And like, what is that? And you're like, it's fucking boiled potatoes. Boiled potatoes?
I was just about to say, I could imagine him like holding up a salmon tern and saying, what is this?
You and the fucking
like,
salmon tern.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Well, sure enough, two guesses what was on the menu this evening. A fucking salmon tern, of course. Like, it could be anything else. But no, I mean, he is that child. Or like, do you know, he'd be the type of child, because we had a mutual friend years ago that basically one of the girls, they came home and the friend was with them, and the mom was just like, do you know what, girls, just today, now I can't deal with kids at the moment, so I just need you to hang out in your room or something. And then 2 weeks later, the friend, like, bear in mind now, all these girls are 16, we're all 16, we're all young.
Yeah.
And the girl went and sat the mom down and was like, listen, we'll say the mom's name is Rose.
Right.
Rose, I just want you to know I didn't like how you spoke to me a couple of weeks ago. Just let's have a chat about it. And Jaden would be that type.
Oh,
like, he'd call around to the kitchen and you'd be like, oh God, I'm really sorry, but Jack isn't here now. And he'd be like, no, I don't want to talk. I want to talk to you. Okay. I just didn't like how you spoke to me the other day. I just, it didn't wash with me.
Jesus Christ. Do you know what I was saying to Shane the other day about, you know, other people's moms, right? When I was obviously younger, this wasn't last week, but when I was like primary school, but like not like a little kid, right? I went off somewhere like Glendalough or something, like with this family. They like, all the kids packed into the car, and it's like, oh, do you want to bring Emma along? Do you know what I mean? Because I would have been the kind of kid that would have been, the parents wouldn't have minded taking me as the guest. Do you know that kind of way, right?
Yeah, and seatbelts weren't an issue then.
No,
so you could squeeze as many kids as you wanted into the car.
Yeah, nobody gave a shit, right? So we're well on the way home now, and we're close to home. And the mom says, she goes, she's fancy a McDonald's. And me and Shane had just been talking about, like, back in the day, if someone said that to you on the way home from somewhere, like, you'd lose your shit. Like, that was not a frequent occurrence. You were like, oh my God, yeah. Like, hooping and hollering the whole shebang, like, really, really excited. And I'm fucking so excited about this, like, fucking revved. And she turns around, she says something like, I'm only taking the piss, you ticks. And drove past McDonald's and started
please
laughing.
Please tell me this woman, her kids were taken off her immediately.
No.
Oh, that's really fucked up. Why would you say that to kids?
Like, I was just like sitting there going, what the fuck kind of monster is this woman? Like, she did that as a joke. As a joke, Julie.
You see, this is the problem. If you don't get them sorted with the open mics early on, they start doing this kind of shit to their own kids.
Well, this is it, yeah. But other people's moms, it can be a bit of a minefield, can't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, like, I just think other people's moms, it's so funny because generally you have a certain dynamic with your own mom, which works, but that's not going to apply. Obviously, you can't apply that beyond the family unit or you'd be in court every single week. Like, it just, you know, like, it just doesn't work. But sure, I can remember even when we were very young, like, we were only in primary school and my cousin, I mean, it just says it all about our family dynamics, by the way, but my cousin... turned around. He was like, she's great. Like, she was always very precocious little character. I mean, she was blonde. Like, I need I say more. She had gorgeous blonde hair. So she got away with a lot.
Right.
That ginger cowlick over here didn't get away with. You know what I mean? But I can remember her saying, we were talking about like a girl that we both knew, and the mother was just, you know, the mother ran a B&B and this girl had been grounded for something like a month for leaving her runners in the bathroom. And like, we were just running wild, that like, as per, it was the summer, running wild. And I just remember sitting in a paddling pool and my cousin saying, but why doesn't she just tell her mother to just fuck off? I don't understand. And I just, to me, that just summed up our relationship with our parents. Like, we could not, like, she was like grounded. Like, just go out the fucking door. Just tell her, fuck off. I am going out. Goodbye. And I mean, I think we were only like 9 or 10.
Jesus. But yeah, like, for
but it is that thing of like other people's moms. It is a complete minefield.
Oh yeah. Or the friend Judy that tells her mom all the shit yous are up to, and the two of them sit there fucking gaspacking about yous all and judging yous, and like, she's gonna live to regret that decision.
Yeah.
Well, they're the fucking worst. They're the one.
Well, there was always, yeah, there, I always had the friends who, because I was a very shocker, a very bad decision maker as a teenager. So I would always have the friends who'd be telling their moms stuff like, oh, you know, like, you know, is it okay if like you don't have respect for yourself and you're just saying yes to anyone who wants to shift you, even if you don't even like them? And the mom's sitting at the edge of the bed being like, oh my God, no, I can't believe you do that to yourself. And the friend's like, no, it's Julie. She's always doing that shite. It's just, it was always out. I found with my friends, it was always airing my dirty laundry.
Oh, yeah. One girl in particular used to love this shit. She'd tell her mom and her younger sister fucking everything about everyone else. And then she'd make out that she was
little. But it's deflection, yeah.
Oh my God.
It's deflection. It's like, is it okay to raid your parents' drinks cabinet, even though, you know, some of that drink is really expensive? And the mom be like, no, that's so wrong. I can't believe, no, it's Julie. She's always doing, like, I think it's wrong as well, mom. What are we going to do about it? Let's ring her, mom. Let's do that.
Fuck's sake. It's just too much.
Look, pure deflection. And sure, then there was the phenomenon of the the cool moms. And at the time, we're like, this is deadly, the way the mom just wants to hang out with us and come clubbing with us. And it's only 2 decades later, and you meet the friend, and they're like, yeah, like, mom, she went, she got dried out, like, she got some help. But at the time, like, you'd be going home to your mom, like, watching Carrie in the rocking chair, being like, you need to. Get a life.
Oh, yeah.
You need to live. That's what you need to do.
Well, we didn't have any mams hanging out with us, but we definitely had like the older brothers, who say were the same age as my brothers, getting us drink when we were far too young to be having drink.
Oh,
and at the time, and you thought they were so cool. And then, like, it didn't take that long. You're like, oh my God, what the fuck are they doing with their lives? Like, if it's a brother, you know, who's like in the year ahead or whatever, or, you know, is like hanging around, just, that's completely different.
Yeah, but the brother in the early 20s and he's like, your friend's like, oh, it's grand because, yeah, Graham said he's going to get us drink. Oh my God, so cool. Graham, tell us more about the music engineering course you're doing. Yes, I'm in my final year. Wow. Oh my God, are you going to get a job? Like, what are you doing, Graham? What are you doing? Legally drink in a pub. Like, that was always such a... I mean, we didn't perceive it as a red flag, but, like, the people who could legally drink in a pub, but they were choosing to hang out with, like, underagers.
I know. When you look back at it now, you're just like, what the fuck?
They were choosing to drink Wicked with a ginger cowlick. Like, what the hell? And then the friend come back and be like, is it okay, like, you know, to accept Wickeds from like one of the girls' brothers? Are you doing that? Oh my, no, Julie keeps saying yes to the Wickeds. And I can remember a friend of mine, this is the last one, A friend of mine, when we were quite young, her mother discovered she had Bliss magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what was the one? What was the one with the really saucy?
Sugar, was
like
it?
Like, problem page. It must have been Sugar. Yeah, it
was. Bliss is a bit tamer, I think,
Yeah, so it must have been Sugar, but she was found with the sugar. And she said that it was my sugar that I had given her. And I'll never forget, the mom said to me, and you're sitting in the sitting room and you're sitting on like a doily or something and you're there in your cycling shorts. And she was like, Judy, I know about you giving, we'll call her Rebecca. I know about you giving Rebecca the sugar. I just want you to know that once you destroy innocence, Judy, you can never take that back. And I was sitting there like, what the fuck? And your one was like, I'm so sorry, just going to tell her it was my sugar. I was like, I have now been labelled an innocence destroyer.
So she thought you were grooming her daughter, essentially.
She basically, like, there was an unseemly tone to the conversation. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, I'm sitting there and she thinks I'm like giving her daughter sugars left, right and center.
That's totally fucked up.
Totally fucked up.
Do you know the way we were talking about like before on the podcast about me writing the letter to David Schwimmer?
Oh yeah, because you had the address book, David Schwimmer, yeah. Hollywood, LA. Yeah.
So my mum and dad are cleaning out their gaff. And do you remember I was showing people the call card collection in my file of fax? But in the address book, right, I had like people who I was actually in school with at the time. So I had like Kira Kelly in there and I had Yvette Kennedy and stuff. But I also had Phil Babb. And I had Tom Cruise in my address book as well. And I had all these like football players and stuff, right? And I shared it on Instagram. And a girl I went to school with was like, oh, I think you got all those. She's like, I have a feeling you got those footballers' addresses from me. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I'd say I did. I was like, sure, remember you got the letter back from Roberto Baggio. Do you remember Roberto Baggio? With the ponytail.
No, but the name is ringing a bell. Yeah.
So it's Italian football player. So she came into school one day and she'd written a letter to Roberto Baggio and she came back with this really cool, like, official looking letter. And Roberto Baggio had written her a letter and, you know, the signature at the end. And it just looked really cool. So I think that was one of the things that inspired me to try to start writing to celebrities. And I was like, oh yeah, you and your Roberto Baggio letter. And she goes, oh my God, Emma. She's like, that was a fake. She said, my friend and her brother pranked me and delivered this letter to me and let me believe that it was from Roberto Baggio.
I mean, of course this man hadn't written her a letter.
No, but you see, it looked really authentic. And even I know, like, with lots of people like that, you know, they'd have people who would have, back in the day, would have responded to fan mail. So they just throw in an old, like, you know, copy of a signed picture and some, like, generic letter. So
yeah,
it would be kind of believable. But she was like, oh, they did like a prank. So they sent her this letter, let her get all excited about it, go and tell everyone in school. I think she even like showed it to the teacher and, you know, all this big thing.
Look, the teacher, you're making a beeline for that teacher's desk. There's no question she's showing it to the teacher.
And the teacher's like, give me this, like, this is going to burn a bit of time. And then she's all excited about it, whatever. She thinks Roberto Baggio is her new fucking pen pal. And then the friend and her brother's like, ah, psych. Isn't that like the cruelest thing ever? She was like, you know.
Psych. Well, I mean, psych was just.
Well, I'm not saying they said that, like, but they probably did.
That's the worst part of the story, that they ended it with the psych. I think it's probably up there with, you do look back. I mean, it's very cruel. It's probably up there with pretending you're taking a bunch of kids to McDonald's, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I still think that one tops it, but.
It's
primary school kids. This is what I can't get over. Like, it's shit enough to do to a car full of teenagers, but primary school kids.
But you know, speaking,
what the fuck?
Like, you're really not robust enough in primary school to handle that shit. I'm getting the charger here, so there might be a bit of music in the background because Fred's doing his thing. Hi, Pet. Sorry, I'm just on the podcast, so don't say anything too incriminating. Not that he ever does. I'm just going to get the charger here. Don't mind me. Just podcasting. I'm a podcaster.
What music is he doing? Right. Is he...
What music are you listening to, Pet?
I'm listening to...
I've got my headphones
my
in.
My Bloody Valentine.
My Bloody Valentine. My gosh. I mean, I wouldn't mind a bit of Selena Gomez every once in a while. But do you know, I was just thinking there, speaking of pranks, it got me thinking about, do you remember, was it Howard or Jason from Take That? They were doing the prank calls, this 15-year-old.
Oh, yeah, I think it was, I was defo Jason, I think, yeah.
I think it was Jason, because I had a massive crush on Jason. And at the time, I was really, really jealous of him playing along with these 15-year-old girls. So I think it was Jason. But you look back now and you're like, what a dangerous game you were playing.
<I know.
laughs> He's like, it literally, the text of the conversation was basically like, oh, hey, we're like 15 and we're just calling people. And Jason's like, I like calls. Like, he wants them to stay on the line.
It's just so dodgy, isn't it? Because people are still trying to wrap their heads around that a 15-year-old teenager is a child. They're still having trouble with that one.
And you know what was another thing? it's too much. It's just like, oh.
They really want to say, do you know what they want to say? They want to say, and they can't be honest with themselves. These people that have a problem with calling 15-year-old girls, girls, they want to have it distinguished. Was she prepubescent or what was, that's what they really want to know. Oh. They're not concerned about the age. They're like, what did she look like? Had she gotten boobs?
When it comes back to,
that's all they want to know.
We did touch upon this before, but it does come back to the old thing of, like, I think we talked about that space. There seemed to just be somebody with, like, their only job at the Daily Mail consisted of staying abreast of all these female teachers having, basically abusing their male students.
Oh, yeah.
And as we said at the time, this thing of, oh, he was 15, but he, and their only defense being, but he was tall. Like, no! That is not a defense. He is still a child. He's just a tall child.
For fuck's sake. And Camille, what was the case that you were telling me about recently? I totally missed this.
Oh, yeah. So this leads in very nicely. So our friend Janice J from Canada got in touch and was like, oh, girls, this case was massive in the 90s. I don't know if it was big over there. I think North America really, like, they expect too much from us. Like, as if we had anything more interesting going on than this in the late 90s in Ireland, that we were like, we're not even going to touch that story. So this, do you remember the one, Mary Kay Letourneau? Basically, she was this teacher who became this total tabloid sensation in the late 90s because she had an affair. Like, this is just crazy, even by modern day standards. And we have we've heard so many more stories similar to this. So she started an affair, wait for this, with a student when she was a teacher, when he was 12 years old. 12 years old.
Jesus.
I mean, so she basically, abused him, obviously. She then went on, so she had two kids by him. Basically, the first time round when she went to trial the first time, he was 13 and she was pregnant. So she gave birth to a little girl. She was then released from prison, which a lot of people thought was ridiculous. She only served a few months, but they released her from prison. So he's actually looking after this child, by the way, this daughter.
What?
He's released from prison. Yeah, so she's released from prison. And they're like, look, okay, we're releasing you on parole, but you have to stay away from him. Shock horror, a few months later, what happens? She's caught having sex with this child in her car. By the way, she's married and has kids and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So she is caught having sex with them again. And guess what? She's pregnant again. So she goes down, obviously, for years and years and years. While she's in prison, this 15-year-old child is raising two little girls on his own.
Oh, my God.
And then, basically, she's obviously released from prison at some point. They then went on and got married in 2005 after she had served her 7-year prison term. And they have, now they did split up for a while last year, but they did remain married. And then this week it kind of hit the news again. Now they would have done a big TV interview and stuff last year. So I would have watched that and a lot of people would have watched it because obviously this is like a case that just continues to just baffle people. But yeah. She then died of cancer this week. So again, it was in the news again. And a lot of people were like, I can't believe they're still married. So they were technically, like, they were still married. They did have a brief separation at some point, but they were still married right up to the very end. But just crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Like, it's...
Yeah. She was 34 when she began a sexual relationship with this child in 1996, and he was either 12 or 13.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and even though they went on to get married, that, like, that obviously was, to say it was an abusive relationship is understating the century. And it's so sad that, you know, it's so sad that obviously, you know, it must have been mass. Imagine how confusing it was for that 12 or 13-year-old child that his first sexual experience is with a woman in her mid-30s.
Oh my God.
Like, yes, they went on to get married. But I mean, in my mind, it was still, that can never negate the fact that this was an abusive relationship.
Oh my God, Jude. There's just like so many questions. Like, where were his family?
Well, you see, this is one of the things. So his family, he came from quite a dysfunctional family background. So that was one of the things that was very much like held against this teacher. He was, of course, supposed to be a care, like essentially like, you know, in loco parentis. And she's taking advantage of this child who was clearly coming from a very vulnerable background. And she originally met this child, which I think is so freaky as well. So weird. I mean, weird isn't even the word, like, so disturbing. She originally met him when he was 8. And then 4 years later, she built up this relationship with him, was driving him home one day, and he asked, could he kiss her? Which I just think is so heartbreaking. And she claims the relationship started from there. So he then was left looking after these couple of kids. Now, he did then have help from his extended family. I think he had a grandmother and stuff. He was helping him out with the little girls.
Right.
But sure, he went on to have all these. He said he suffered from depression. He had, obviously, like, addiction issues, which is hardly surprising. He became an alcoholic because he was trying to deal with being a teenager, having been in an abusive relationship, and being a single parent of two girls.
I mean, it's just, I feel real scabby complaining about McDonald's mom now. Do you know what I mean?
Well, this is it. I mean, she wasn't Mary Kay Letourneau, that's for sure.
Oh my God, it's just so bad. And I can't believe as well that they kind of like did the interviews and all the rest of it, like.
Oh yeah, they did that. I mean, even in,
like,
2018.
Like, which is not change your names. Yeah. Like, okay, obviously, it's completely fucked up.
In the same community.
No, like, I'm sorry, but if you were that, like, if your situation was that fucked, wouldn't you just, like, change the names, move away, never talk about it to anybody again, spoof to the kids about what age dad is and what age mom is? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was, and you know what? It shows how innocent I was, because I can remember all this happening in 1996. So I would have been like maybe 12, but I can remember her defense at the time. So, you know, it was obviously on TV, it was a very big deal. But her defense at the time was that she suffered from bipolar.
Oh, okay.
And grand. it was the first time that I had heard the term bipolar.
Yeah.
So it actually took me years to kind of deprogram. Like, I associated being bipolar with this kind of behavior because this had been her defense, and it took me years to actually re-educate myself and realize what being bipolar actually was. This is the first time I remember. That was just something that, you know, even that came back to me this week when I heard that this Mary Kay Letourneau had died. But like, the fact that she was using that as her defense, like, think of the millions of people who suffer from bipolar, and she's using that as a defense when she's 34 years of age and she's having sex with a 13-year-old child. And the fact that she got pregnant so quickly on both counts, just, it's just, the whole thing was insane.
God, you'd love to know her, like, what's her history? Do you say she was married? Did she have other kids?
She did. She had a few other kids. Her dad had been like this kind of really conservative Republican, he was a California state senator and a congressman, so he was a politician. And then she had, like, she met this guy, Steve Letourneau. She had, you know, four kids with him. She did say in 2018, when they did this big interview herself, and Will Falou was the same, and he's a Samoan American, so his family are originally from Samoa in the South Pacific.
Yeah.
But she would have said in 2018, well, I have a really good relationship with my four kids from my first marriage. And to be honest, like, her kids with Falou, who, of course, would have been the child in question here and is now obviously a grown man, is, you know, he's like 36 years of age now. But like, the kids seemed the girls seemed very well rounded. It seemed like a loving family unit. But you can't take from the fact that even if they are married, I feel so sad for him.
Yeah.
Like, this has been his life. And I'm sure he feels that he does love her, you know, but I just think that, can you really have an adult loving relationship when that is the beginning of your relationship? I don't know. Like, what do you think?
No.
I just think you can't.
No, not at all. No, she abused and groomed him for years.
I think the fact that his whole, you know, I know at 36 he still have a lot of living left to do, but his whole teenage life, his whole adult life has been defined by his relationship with this woman. I just think is so unfair. I know now she has passed away, and I'm sure her family are grieving and are very, very sad. And of course, like, that makes, you know, you wouldn't wish that up. You wouldn't wish grief on anyone. It's the worst. But the whole thing was just insane.
Oh, my God. But they did that for a while, though, didn't they? They don't seem to do so much, but it was definitely a buzz in the 90s that people were just like, well, that'd be the bipolar. They did tend to do that a lot.
Well, there was a lot of misconceptions about it. A bit of an ending on a dark story there, but sure enough. Still very interesting. Keeping it comedy.
Comedy.
Right, so our latest patrons. Do you know what I'll do? I'll just do the latest five.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good.
Okay, the latest five. We've got Shauna. We've got Steph H. We've got Sophie M. We've got Eilish K. We've got Emer F. And we've also got, hang on now, I'm going to scroll down. Okay, we have got Luke N and Kate O'D. Guys and girls, thank you so much
for supporting us
on the Patreon. We're having great crack over there. It means so much. It genuinely is just deadly. So we really, 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 really appreciate it.
Well, it keeps us going, Julie, so doesn't it? Because we said that we'd see how we're getting on by Christmas, wouldn't we? So it's keeping us going.
Oh, are we? Yeah. Well, I mean, we had said that we kind of reevaluate the whole podcast thing at Christmas, but this is definitely, it's going in the right direction for us. So we're delighted.
Maybe I shouldn't.
I know. I didn't think we were telling the masses that, but sure, look, it's good. Look, well,
I'm in a very honest mood today. Yeah.
Okay. Mommy and Daddy love you very much. But no, like, please don't start panicking and messaging us now saying it's up to 90 days. Like, no. But what we're saying is we just wanted to get the Patreon to a certain point.
Yes.
And it's going in the right direction. And that's why we're super grateful to people.
It's turning, I feel like we have to cut to a clip now. I feel like we're doing a bit of a telethon where we need to cut to a clip.
It's like Bob Geldof. Don't mind the fucking address. Like that. Yeah. Just don't bother posting it to us. Okay.
Girls, let
be the girls. Okay. Don't mind the address. Just give us the $3 a month. 4 extra episodes. She can't go wrong with that. We'll be doing an extra episode this week. We haven't decided what it is yet, but sure, we'll let you know. Always go crack. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Julie J.
I've been Emma Dorn. God bless.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.